Force.
Digimon. Not gonna do that.
No.
Welcome to Podigis episode 401.5, Smells Like Preteen Feedback.
Human Spirits Arc Feedback. Re.
Core.
Did.
Feb.
You.
Ari.
No, you messed it up.
Set.
Kind.
To.
Thou.
Zin.
Seb.
Vin.
Teen.
It was perfect.
Nope.
Perfect aside from our cat making lots of noise in the background. Podigis is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by fellow Trailmon, Ashton McDonald.
Choo-choo.
Digi-choo-choo.
I think I can.
Hopefully our sound is not too off this episode. It's another live episode, haphazardly recorded all at once, and not with a massive editing process afterwards. The recording environment is a little more suboptimal in this episode than last one, so let us know if it
is. I thought we made it better.
No, I didn't have time to set up the thing, the blanket behind me.
Oh.
So I'm afraid mine's going to sound really bad. Because it's basically, there's a big room behind us and a glass window and police sirens outside the glass window, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, we live in a city.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so just to quickly announce, the winner of the Ridiculous Dialogue Draft from episode 401 was... Hold on. I have it right here.
Lavender.
Which won by 15 times as many votes as any other pick.
I can't, because you played it 15 times as many as much as the others.
It's just lavender.
Exactly.
Anyway, moving on to the fortnightly question. First off, I guess, no, let's do the non-voicemail answers first, and then we'll do the voicemail answers after that.
Okay.
So,
have you listened to the voicemails, or are they going to be...
Yes, I have pre-screened them.
Oh.
Even
the Davis one?
Spoiler alert, Ashley. Yes, it was tempting to not... I was like, oh, I should not listen to it and listen to it react live, but I was like, oh, I'm so tempted to listen to it. So, anyway, we're going to start with Tumblr. So, okay, so the fortnightly question for episode 401 was, if you could spirit evolve into a Digimon, who would you want to evolve into? And I just realized I can't mute the sound on my laptop, so if people iMessage me, anyway, if you could spirit evolve into a Digimon, who would you want to Digivolve into? And Himi Tomoki on Tumblr, unsurprisingly, from having Tomoki in their name, said Kumamon. And on Facebook... Justice Lawson said, depends. I'm sorry you're going to hate this, but Cyberdramon. Then my slide evolution would be Millenniummon. And they go on to say that they are human and beast spirit compatible, and they like how Millenniummon is a virus type and Cyberdramon is a vaccine type.
Hi, Pixel. Can you chill out?
I really hope all that noise from our cat is not being picked up on the mic, but it probably is to some degree, so sorry about that.
I would like to say that Cyberdramon does not offend me. I think Cyberdramon is cool. I wish they didn't make him not talk. And that he wasn't Ryo's partner. I don't know. He's fine on his own.
Yeah, the fact that he doesn't talk, though, makes there not to be much character to,
They're wiffle-waffly with his talking.
Yeah. And also Millenniummon, I don't have any, like, harsh feeling towards Millenniummon. I do have kind of harsh feelings towards... the way that side possibly canon games kind of like divide the fandom into people being like, oh, Millenniummon's super important, and other people are just like, no, he's not at all. That's not a thing. And anyway, Cordell on Facebook also said, I would want to spirit evolve into Alphamon. That's an interesting response.
Try Alphamon.
Let's move on to Twitter. So, Diabjomon / Tokujo said Angemon so they can have a sweet set of abs without doing anything. Yeah, it's totally true.
Okay, yes. And then Trickster Coyote said Agunimon. He has always been one of my favorite Digimon. Fire plus cool design. Agree. I agree.
Ember Motomon. Yeah, I said Ember Motomon.
Ember Motomon!
Ember Moto said Beast Spirit Duogreymon. No, I can't. Daruguramon. It's
do
a badass.
Know who that is?
Dragon, tiger, human spirit, Strabimon. It's a demon wolf child. I actually, when I saw that, when I saw that tweet come in, Daruguramon.
Doru.
Oh, it's Doru. It's
it's oh, that thing.
Yeah, the ultimate form of. It's after Dorugreymon, I think.
Yes.
Or maybe it is Dorugreymon in dub things? Yeah.
Okay.
Like in Cyber City, it was Dorugreymon. Yeah. I recognize this because it was pretty useful in Cyber Sleuth. Cyber City, it was Dorugreymon. Whoa.
Whoa, what was that?
I recognize this because it was pretty useful. Why are we hearing ourselves? What's going on?
Oh. Is it me? No.
What'd you do?
Whoa, what was that?
Why are we hearing ourselves? What's going on? No, this is bad because it's going to pick up on me. No. What'd you do?
How could I do anything?
I don't know. Did you change something?
No. Okay.
This is we need to solve this.
Well, now it's not happening.
Yeah, I muted. I muted it, but that means we can't have any other system audio. Oh. Do these still work?
You're kind of funny.
Okay, that still works.
I heard that. Yeah.
I guess we're going to not have system audio for the rest, so I might not. I can't play like music clips or anything, but that's probably fine. That's better than hearing our own voices back.
Yeah, what's happening?
We have two special guests, Jeff and Ashley.
Jeff and Ashley.
Jeff and Ashley from the past.
Jeff and Ashley from like couple, 3 seconds back.
Couple seconds ago, time travel, Jeff and Ashley. yeah, sorry for all the live shenanigans.
Be cool.
Where did we leave off in the Fortnite question answers? Oh, Uspot Gaming said Mega Seedramon.
Hey, Zoe is my favorite, said, of the spirit evolutions, gotta go with Lobamon. First of all, wolves. First of all, I agree with that. Wolves, always wolves. Second,
yeah, I was like,
she
Ashley
has a lightsaber.
Has Ashley secretly been Zoe's my favorite, / Rika's my favorite, / Kari's my favorite the entire time?
No.
And I just didn't notice.
Second, he has a lightsaber. Hard to beat that.
Yeah, it's true, because Ashley doesn't care that much about
it's true, I don't care about lightsabers. Do care about wolves a lot. of any Digimon, I guess Lilymon. She's pretty, yet we don't see everything. Wait, what? I can read. She's pretty, yet we don't see everything like other female Digimon. Yet she still packs a punch.
Okay, I think I figured out how to turn back on our system audio without having ourselves repeat it back. I had the chat open in the second window to make sure we could see the chat, and it was playing audio there. So, that's fun.
Oh, cool.
Sorry, are there more? I zoned out while I was trying to figure that out.
Oh, there are two more, I think.
Okay, so Mr.
Maybe
Square.
I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Square / Gatomon 41 said Dagumon. That's. I really should have worded this question differently on social media and asked people for why, because some of these are interesting answers, but we don't know their reasoning.
Yeah, Dagumon.
Like, Dagumon. Okay.
Well, like, alrighty then.
You just want to be Cthulhu. That's cool. Toma the Yoshi, which. Nate / Toma the Yoshi has replied to a lot of our social media, our Twitter posts about Tommy that have not been the nicest to Tommy, and they've been trying to defend Tommy. So they aptly respond to Kumamon.
And yeah, I feel like we're fair on Tommy in podcast episodes.
Yeah, we don't actually dislike Tommy. I feel like he's easy to make fun of on social media posts. So.
He has a funny hat, you guys. Like, I don't. He's asking for it.
And we also have an answer from May from Lost in Translation on Twitter.
Yes.
I need to load it. Okay.
I don't have it loaded. So
May said they'd spirit evolve into Daramon because I too want to be pretty and give a bow tie and have a bow tie.
Is that the bird one?
Yeah. They were in the episodes we watched before too. The one with the Soba shop.
Yes. Okay.
Which I can't remember what they were in the Puppetmon episodes in Adventure, but I can't remember what they did. I can't remember if they were one of the ones that was like working for Puppetmon but secretly good, or if they were.
Oh, I think so. I think they were like friends with the Floramon.
Anyway, they make bad soba noodles apparently.
Oh no!
That was not what I meant to hit.
That's
I meant
not
to hit this.
What I meant to hit, but you totally did.
Okay, now moving on to comments about episode.
Whoa, we didn't do voicemails.
We did not do voicemails. Sorry, now is when I play.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Because, oh, you are so right. We cannot move on without doing voicemails. So the first voicemail, again, the question of the week was, what Digimon would your spirit evolve into? So, oh, and yeah, I need system audio because I need to be able to play these voicemails. Good thing I figured that out.
Isn't this all good?
Yes, so the first, it's like a roller coaster. You're experiencing the live recording, even if you're not listening live. You're just like getting like, are they going to make it? Is it going to sound like anything?
You don't know.
Is the cat going to like audio bomb? That, I was trying to say photo bomb, but
yeah,
I'm not going to use the word bomb.
He's finally
there.
Just like chilling on a chair.
Anyway, first voicemail comes in from Allie Allen.
I would spirit evolve into Shoutmon because then I could shout all day long, and I would have fire powers because who wants that?
Fire powers are always good.
I like how Shoutmon canonically becomes king of the digital world, and that's not even brought up. Just like
I did not know that.
Spoiler alert!
Spoilers. It's
completely inconsequential.
Isn't he a rookie?
Oh, like yeah. I mean, no. In the it's similar to Frontier where they don't have super defined power levels like that. But yeah, I mean, but he's a shonen protagonist who really wants to be king of the digital world, and
whoa, spoiler alert,
just becomes it off screen between season mids. It's
sounds like you really love Shoutmon.
A.R. Pulver mentions that I just ruined Fusion for all of us, and I don't understand how, because I'm just like, that's... Oh, I guess... Yeah, I guess in Fusion, it never actually happens in Fusion, because Fusion doesn't adapt the third of Cross Wars.
The third? Okay.
Anyway, the second voicemail comes in... From, I'm realizing it's really hard to navigate the soundboard once it's gone to a credit. I have a whole tab in the soundboard for Lavender Clips. And also, this is a preview of episode 402.
Melon! My tummy feels like a melon!
We probably lost all listeners. But that's my special...
No, it still says my special nine. Davis.
Not Davis, I just called Takuya. Anyway, yes, we have another... I am just stalling until I can find...
The voicemail is from Dave.
We have another voicemail clip from our... Davis.
Okay, yeah. The
Here it goes. Hold on, I'm going to turn up the volume to make sure this can be heard well.
Whoa, hey everyone. It's your old pal Davis giving a fortnightly answer to a fortnightly question. What Digimon would I want to spirit evolve into? Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. Not even Vmon knows, but my favorite Digimon is Gargomon. He has cool machine gun hands and he wears blue jean pants. I think it's pretty rad. But anyways, little did you guys know, or the Digimon Wiki knows, I can spirit evolve. Here, let me show you. Execute!
Oh my goodness.
Spirit evolution! Gargomon! Check it out, guys, I'm Gargomon! You can't see, but honestly, it's me. I have the machine gun hands and everything. Oh, hey, look, someone's on the phone. Let me just answer it real... Oh, wow, it's still going.
Oh my
God. Yikes. Yikes. Okay, note to self, do not answer the door ever. All right, guys, well, I better go. I need to go to the bathroom. Oh, that might be a problem.
This is the best. So elaborate!
You can understand why it was so hard for me to resist listening to it before the episode. And it was worth it. Well, it wasn't. It was worth... I don't know what I'm saying. It's worth doing the podcast to get those... voicemails. Yeah. We hope you're okay, Davis. We hope you solved the gun
problem. It's all worth it just for Davis.
And I've lost our Google Doc. All right, now
it's comments time.
Now is time for me to play this. Okay, now it's time for comments, and I'm just checking in on the time. We still have a good 45 minutes left in our timer before the live stream cuts out.
Before the world ends.
But we do have a... the opposite of dirge? We have a lot of comments and not many ask questions. So, live stream people in the chat, if you want to give us questions for our question segment, please do. I'm good at speaks.
Good at words.
Anyway.
Have best words.
So we have a couple of different, all these comments come from different things. This first one is from DT Scout on our episode 400.5 episode page. I guess it was the last TDEC episode 2 weeks ago. And they said, you could seriously do an entire episode, if not an entire separate podcast series, just covering how terrible the gender depictions are in the season. And yeah, I wanted to bring that up because I feel like we did not go into that enough in episode 401.
You know, 401?
Like, right. People haven't heard 402 yet, Ashley.
I actually thought we didn't rage enough in 402.
That might... Well, yeah, you wanted to keep raging, and I apparently cut you off from the rage.
No! But I was like, it's all just so obviously bad that I don't even have to say it. Like,
but there was stuff in 401 that I think we kind of, like, because we're covering in larger arcs, there we don't have as much time to... Or we kind of forget the smaller... I'm trying to... oh, my God. I keep thinking microtransactions instead of microaggressions.
Okay.
we forget the smaller micro...
we forget the micro transactions.
Anyway. Wait.
Shut up, Pixel. Stop looking cute.
Anyway, yeah. And, you know, like, one of the other things I want to point out that... oh, yeah. This wasn't from a comment, but it was just inspired by listening to Lost in Translation on episode 86, which is when they covered Frontier episodes 3 and 4. And May raged a lot about... Kazemon not getting to win in her evolution episode, or Zoe not getting to win when she evolved into Kazemon. And I feel like that's something that we talked a lot about Kazemon being fan service in 401, but we didn't...
I'm pretty sure we acknowledged...
I think we mentioned it.
Yeah.
But we were just like, oh, that's frustrating. Yeah, okay, it's frustrating. But like...
I have nothing more to say.
I mean...
I have nothing more to say because I don't, like, thoroughly care about these characters.
Yeah, I guess that's the... Like, yeah. It is incredibly frustrating when you look at the structure of Digimon, but also, like... It's hard to care that much about Zoe.
Yeah. Like, I'm finding it hard to care about any of them, to be honest. Mm. Yeah. Especially in those first 9 episodes.
Yeah.
In 402, I'm like, all right, I care about you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean... But it's also just, like... I think in the episode acknowledged, like, it's frustrating that she has put down to the level of Tommy. That, like, Tommy right. and Zoe...
Okay, no, wait. This is... I saw you make the banner, and I looked at the banner, and Koji and
right, the banner Takuya. Makes it explicit who scans and who doesn't scan.
Yeah, and I was like, wait, why? Did I just not get the pictures of Kumamon and Kazemon scanning? And then I was like, no, wait, it just didn't happen. And I was like, oh, that's garbage.
Yeah. Right, so, like, we talked about how they're put on the same level, but, like, they're not even. Like, she's on a lower level because she... Like, Tommy, as Kumon, is useful in the fight. Kazemon, like, fights her a little bit, does, like, shows off all the fanservice attacks, and then is, like, you know, forced to digivolve, and then Koji comes in separately and takes
down. Koji come save her, because they're a thing.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, I guess it fits into the, you know, Takuya and Koji are the only ones that are important, except for JP. Like, JP is the only one that makes it actually seem like it's different from that normal trend that Frontier has, but... Yeah, it's hard because, like, yeah, it's been, like, now our passions have cooled. The little passion we have for these characters from watching episodes 1 through 9 has faded since it's been a while. We've watched another 10 episodes after that, so.
Oh, yeah, but, we did watch 10 episodes.
Yeah, and there are lots of other things to feel passionate about from those episodes. Well, not really. There are lots of gender frustrations to have in those episodes. Look forward to episode 402. But, yeah, we've kind of forgot about this thing from the beginning of the season too much. I wanted to point out this comment from CC Takato on Twitter, and they said, this was in response to one of our tweets about episode, the Toy Country episode.
Toy Country.
I forget what it's called.
The Island of Misfit Boys.
No, but, like, there's actually a name.
Oh.
I included it in the,
who cares about that?
In the notes for episode 401. It's like, what is it canonically called? It's called... Toy Country, I was right. Anyway.
Wow! my mind is blown.
But anyway, it was a tweet about the episode where the boys go to the Toy Country and Zoe and JP go to the Digimon school, and Shizukado said, notice the boy theme episode is centered around toys and video games, and Izumi and Junpei's episode is on raising children. And there was some content. I showed this comment because I thought it was like, yeah, thumbs up. Like, that's really frustrating. And I showed it to Ash and Andrew in our Slack to be like, what do you guys think about this? And Andrew was like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, because Andrew disagrees that being a teacher is like raising children, apparently.
Oop, I just hit my microphone stand. But theoretically, since we have shock mats now, that shouldn't have affected things much. Yeah.
Is that what this thing is?
Yeah, I covertly upgraded Ashley without noticing, apparently.
No, I noticed, and I was like, I don't know what this is. I'm just
gonna Yeah, it's true that raising, that teaching Digimon in a school, I mean, they also aren't the teachers. They're like more like visitors to school, whatever. But I think, you know, the imagery in the episodes is much more parental. The thing is, the place where I think it kind of breaks down is that the episode with Tommy, Takuya, and Koji is also a parental episode. It's also like they're watching this little kid, but it's also like brotherly, but it's also parental in a way that is with toys, which is a more guy thing. So I think it reflects a frustrating trend, but it's not like this is decisive evidence that the show is garbage with gender. There are plenty of other things to be frustrated about.
Yeah, there are more explicit things than that to me.
Yeah. And on Reddit, I think this was in, which episode was this a comment for? It was for episode 400, the Frontier Expectations episode. And so it's from Yoshiman400, and he said, honestly, though, as someone who never gave Frontier a chance, not due to plot or anything like that, but rather due to UPN's weird airing schedule, and I'm trying to remember what in my notes I wrote down as my own thoughts and their thoughts. He
said, I was like, wait.
I've always assumed UPN aired new episodes first, not ABC Family, though I may be wrong. I'll be looking forward to hearing your opinions, although if I ever choose to watch it, I'd take it subbed. I wanted to read this because in, I think, multiple episodes by this point now, I've insisted that it definitely aired new episodes on ABC Family, and there were reruns aired on UPN in syndication. And that was apparently the misconception I had at the time, and I've just solidified that as fact in my brain, and looking it up, yeah.
Just full of alt facts.
Yeah, alt facts. it's the alt-right with alternative facts, actually. It's not alt facts.
No, alt facts from the alt-right and the alternate reality.
Anyway, yeah, so when I looked it up in Wikipedia and stuff, it says that new episodes aired on UPN, and then later reruns were aired on ABC Family. I'm sure it was the kind of thing that, like, at the time, you know, with the internet was totally a thing, but, like, information on the internet was not as centralized in useful places, so, you know. And there were, you know, like, Digimon resources at the time, but I was not aware of them and probably didn't get the right information. And as I recall, UPN, I remember thinking there was this trend that newer episodes would air on Mondays, and they'd air older episodes the rest of the week. And apparently those Monday, like, those are the airing dates for those episodes, is those Mondays. So, yeah. Anyway. My comment here says, yes, Jeff is stupid for insisting this. Anyway. We had a lot of discussion in our comment section for episode 401 with Chris McFeely about the human/white savior narrative. So I'm just going to read his first comment. And so he said, for you guys, I gotta tell you, I was struggling not to reach for the fast forward bit button during that white savior narrative bit. Is the Wizard of Oz a white savior narrative allegory? Is the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Or is it just a totally normal fantasy quest plot structure in stories where humans go to another world/time that literally only takes on problematic qualities when you overlay onto it real-world systems that it was never meant to reflect? Way off base compared to your normal insights, and I was surprised not to hear Asher smack down the idea immediately. So we had lots of back and forth, actually, I too, about this argument or about this comment, and I think there are definitely flaws and holes in the whole human savior narrative thing that I had last episode. And
I agree with you shouldn't call it a white savior narrative.
Oh, yeah. So that is something that, like, I think may have come off wrong to a lot of people, is that I never wanted to call it a white savior narrative. What I wanted to say was that what the show does has, to me, similarities that are troubling to the white savior narrative. Not that it is an instance of the white savior narrative, but that it is taking on a structure which, to me, is like, this is very similar to that thing that is very problematic. That is troubling. I hope people didn't get the takeaway that I was saying, this is an instance of it, this means it's terrible. It was more of a, like, I think it's kind of troubling. And I meant to be like, so what do you guys think? And because of the recording was going along, whatever, we didn't get to have a thorough discussion of the flaws in my argument, but what else are you going to say?
Right. I mean, I was going to say, like, yeah, I wouldn't call it an instance of it, but I didn't wholeheartedly disagree with any of your arguments. It's like, yeah, elements of that are there. And I think it's especially applicable to something that's called Frontier and is clearly about, like,
yeah, that was something
being a frontier.
Yeah, that was something that we didn't bring up, and you've mentioned a couple times since, that, like, it seems like the name Frontier is supposed to be evocative of the, like, the U.S. frontier, and it is, right, like, it implies a, like, you know, uninhabited land that people are discovering the first time, which the digital world is definitely not.
Yeah, it's America wasn't either. That's just, right, like, a fiction that we tell, right, ourselves.
It's very Columbus-ish.
Yeah. And
I'm really curious if anyone knows what the connotation of the word frontier is in Japan. Because, you know, like, the name is Digimon Frontier. It's also Frontia in Japanese. And I'm really curious if it has a totally different connotation in Japanese culture. And there's just, like, no, that's not how we view it at all. So, hope someone writes in about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, frontier can also just be, like, a boundary. But it's, like, it's clearly not going for that connotation of it. It's not, like...
Right. I mean,
there is, like, that double connotation of it, because it's, like, boundary between digital world and real world, but that's not the emphasis. Like,
I guess so. But anyway, after we had, like, a back and forth with Chris McFeely, I think the crux of his argument came under this, another one of his comments, saying, the white savior narrative is a very specific thing that comes about as a result of centuries of societal and cultural programming that you can't just switch the names and races on while keeping the actions the same without losing the inherent meaning of it. And... yeah, so I think what he's getting at here is that, like, the reason that you can't just, you know, take the same things that are frustrating about the white savior narrative, plug in different variables, and then be like, see, it's frustrating and problematic here too. And the fact that, like, I was arguing that it was a metaphor, or that it was an allegory, that you could take away an allegory for race relations, that since it's not literally those races, that it doesn't have those problematic connotations. And I don't think that's really the case. As a counterexample, Avatar. Not The Last Airbender, but Avatar, the 3D blue alien movie.
Blue people.
Blue people. That's not a literal race, but, you know, like, it's commonly agreed that it is a film that uses the white savior narrative trope. You know, like, it is very directly a retelling of Pocahontas, which is very white savior narrative-y. And yeah, so I don't know. I think, you know, like, there can be metaphorical representations of races and still be problematic. I don't think Digimon is clearly not as close to the white savior narrative as Avatar is. You know, Avatar is literally white people saving.
Right. And I guess Digimon, the other thing that we took was that, like, there are very much clearly Digimon that are, like, racial stereotypes.
Yeah, that's like. Yeah, like, it's hard to argue that Digimon has no racial, like, there are clearly racial aspects to Digimon floating around in kind of strange ways. Like, you were arguing the Candlemon village was very, like, reminiscent of tribal stereotypes.
Chant was, like, super Native American tribal chant stereotypes that happened. Yeah.
Which, I mean, who knows how much of that, it may have been more of a dub thing. But, it
may have been.
But the one big flaw that I wanted to point out in my whole human saber narrative thing is that I think one of the key aspects of the white saber narrative that makes it really frustrating and makes it really problematic is that it takes these narratives about minorities and makes them about the white people who are, you know, involved in them instead. It recenters the narratives on the white people, even though it's supposed to be a story about the minority. And I think that's one aspect where Digimon, in the example I gave of One Piece, where they really don't have that same recentering problem. You know, like, even though the show is called Digimon, you don't have an expectation that Digimon is about the groups that they go around and save. It's about the kids and the things that they go and say, the towns they go and say, the people they meet. Those are clearly secondary. And I think it's true of, like, all of those other examples that we brought, you know, like The Wizard of Oz and Lion, the Witch, and Wardrobe. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry for people who aren't interested in that discussion, but hope it was interesting to people.
It was heated.
It was heated. I thought it would be more comments being like, "Oh, stop talking about race."
But it's true.
Anyway, moving on. XXX. It's hard to pronounce that.
XXX.
On the episode 401 page said, on the kids, I do remember they become better as characters, and there's a few episodes of it when they fight Sakumon. I did feel irksome that Tommy and Zoe didn't even win their fights in the spirit episode and needed Takuya and Koji's help. I think there was more to this comment, but I wanted to highlight that part in particular because I think Ashley Jacob said to you on Twitter when you were complaining about the Digimon, the characters in Frontier, which I think Jacob also said, Jacob Chapman from ANN, also said that it, during Sakumon they become more likable and to look forward to that. You were skeptical though, right? I think
well, no, because I replied, I was like, he didn't specify, he was like, they get better, generally, so I was like, okay, good, and then he was like, but then they get worse after, like, this episode, and I was like, damn it!
Also, I mean, the, like, rough arc of the stuff we haven't seen yet, the Sakumon arc people apparently keep saying is a highlight, but then, right after the Sakumon arc, is the part that you've been saying where they get stuck in a forest, so...
Okay, but that isn't that the part that people say is bad?
Right. I'm just saying, it gets too high.
Somebody agrees with me.
I don't remember. I don't think that part after Sakumon is so bad. I don't think the forest part is so bad.
Oh, whatever, you're wrong.
I think it's going to be like 4 or 5 episodes about something that could be told in 1 or 2 episodes. And that's going to be like, ugh, okay.
Annoying.
But I mean, we're going to cover it all in one chunk. So anyway.
Great.
Second to last comment came from Nan on the 401 episode page. And I'm just going to read this highlight from it. It's also interesting how Frontier and Adventure handle the light element so differently. In Adventure, it's some sort of special tier crest, along with Hope. But despite being powerful, it's also personally detrimental to Kari, who is accordingly singled out by enemies and possessed by outside forces. Kari isn't personally powerful either. She really never controls or harnesses light. It just seems to take over when convenient. Meanwhile, Koji is powerful but comparable to Kuya, and as far as I can remember, he doesn't experience any real drawback specific to his element. I realize it's totally different writing teams at work, and that crests and spirits work differently, but if Zoe had the light element, I can't help but wonder if she would have gotten the Kari treatment. Yeah, and that's something that I keep thinking about while I'm writing notes for episodes, but we never actually bring up, because it's never that relevant to conversation, is how Koji's light element is really not... It's like a very... I guess all of the elements are like this. None of the elements are like special.
Star Wars.
Yeah, the lightsaber is just Star Wars. But none of the elements are like. If I guess for some reason I'm like lights should be special, but instead it's just when anyone's got their elements. Like, and especially Kendogurumon, which we haven't gotten to yet. For spoiler, we have already recorded 402. But Kendogurumon is in particular like there's nothing light about it aside from his color scheme is white. Like,
yeah, I guess it's like. I didn't even consciously register that Koji is supposed to be white as his element. Like, I got that, you know, Takuya's fire and Zoe's wind. Like, the other ones are much more element than light, but, like, yeah, Koji doesn't get anything special. Which I guess is kind of weird, but I think they were just like, I ran out of cool elements.
No, I think they wanted to give him... I think they wanted having him have light as cool. And I think it will become more thematically relevant later on when we meet another spoiler character. Since there are elements, but the last line from Nan's comment I thought was particularly interesting, that Kari's having light have so many drawbacks and like consequences. Something about that feels so gendered to me, you know what I mean, like, especially compared to the Koji's having light, that when this female character has this really cool power, like, I mean, the two, according to 02, the two special crests are Hope and Light. But, like, Takuya, oh my god, every name that has a T and a K, and they get confused with TK. TK or Takaru doesn't have downsides like Kari or Kari does, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, okay, his Digimon dies. Oh, the only one that dies.
Guess so. I guess they never tie that in explicitly to being involved with his crest power, which I guess they never actually explicitly...
Well, I mean, he's the last hope, isn't that?
Right, but he's not the last hope in a, like, you must suffer until you become the last hope way. Like, he does, you know, have...
I feel like for that one moment, he was.
that one moment can't define TK's character for the entire series as much as I try.
But it does.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, clearly the dynamics and the use of the crests versus spirits are different. So it's not entirely fair to compare Kari to Koji, but like, yeah, it is. Yeah. Interesting. It does seem to me like it fits in with other patterns of gender representation in media and Digimon in general, that like when the girl has this really cool thing, there are also downsides to it. When the guy has the cool thing, it's like, yeah, it's just cool. And yeah. Sure. I'm actually pretty curious, because like they mentioned that Koji doesn't have any downsides, but we've talked, I think like Ash pointed out, I think in episode 401, that like whenever Koji's done fighting, he like seems to be more...
Oh yeah, because he just gets thrown off cliffs all the time.
But without going to spoilers, I think there might be a canonical reason why Koji would be more drained, but I might be inferring that from stuff that I don't think there actually is. Not sure about that. And I don't know. I don't really trust the show so far to have been so subtle about that. You know, like, I feel like if there were something we're supposed to be worried about that on that front, it would have been foreshadowed much more explicitly. So I don't think there's a reason for him to be more drained. I think that was just coincidence or whatever. The last comment actually came from a while ago. I think it was from our last Chai PV episode, which I don't even remember when we did. Like ages ago.
I don't remember.
I mean, YouTube said the comment was from a month ago. I guess that was like December.
Was there a PV?
Is that 2016? Yeah, I remember when like there were the Dark Masters and
Asher for not watching the PV when we did that. The Christmas.
No, it was a PV episode.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying it makes sense that it came out around then, right? Because it was before that.
Anyway, the comment was from about a month ago. Anyway, it's from Corita Prime on YouTube, and apparently we were talking about, well, it's explaining the comment about the ship of Sora dating Takeru to make Yamato mad thing. My personal favorite ship has always been Tai X TK. Not because I think it's cute or anything, but because every fan art / fanfic portrays Yamato as super mad and not having any of it. Having none of it. And yeah, that was not something I've ever really thought about before, but I get their names mixed up enough.
Yeah. And TK, so. All T names are the same.
Something about, I don't know, crossing the line from the Adventure Kids to 02 Kids, or, you know, the two young ones in Adventure and the older ones seems wrong to me.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's not allowed.
Like, in the scheme of things, they're only, what, like 2 or 3 years apart, but...
I guess.
So...
He's 8 and they're...
I don't remember the numbers. Based on Try, you know, like, the Joe is supposed to be in his third year of high school. I think most of the kids are supposed to be in their second year of high school. And then TK and Kari are still in middle school. I can't remember which part of middle school they're in.
Whoa, oh, no.
our cat is trying to climb the blanket wall that we've put up to help sound a little bit.
Oh, no. You can't do this. Okay,
no! We lost the cat. He fell off a chair. Anyway, I think that's all we got for questions. Comments, yes. Don't talk over with the will, Ashley. That's all we got for comments. So now it's time for Ask Podigious. We have just one question this time.
Okay, that's a 3 years difference. Hmm? There's a 3 years difference between TK Kari and Kai Matsuo.
You're ruining the illusion of segments, Ashley.
Whatever.
So this question came in from CC Takato on Twitter, and they asked, how do you think the dub only jokes in Frontier compared to the dub jokes of the previous seasons? And we also got a similar question from Nan in a comment. So what do you think, Ashley?
I think it's not as good.
But how is not as good? It's obvious it's nowhere near as good. I mean, people might not be watching the dub as they're listening along to the podcast, I'd be watching the sub and not know, but yeah, there aren't as many jokes. They don't land.
Yeah, there aren't as many jokes. Like, they're clearly supposed to be more. I think the difference is that in Adventure, all of the kids are somewhat of a joke. Whereas in Frontier, you are clearly supposed to have joke characters, like Bokemon and Neimon are clearly supposed to be the jokes, and it's kind of just like, I don't care.
But having joke characters in this, they aren't executed well as joke characters. So, like, I don't know. I don't think it's inherently because they're joke characters or not.
I don't know. I just also feel like, the humor is, like, either it's outrageous, but in a way that, like, isn't particularly funny. It's just kind of like, what? Like, how did you get here?
Like, I mean, I definitely had the most, like, my memory of Bokemon and Neimon was like, ugh, they are the worst, they're annoying, they're frustrating. But I had the most, you know, going into the season again, hope for them, like, maybe they'll be so much better than I remember. And no, they're just like, I mean, having joke characters when none of their jokes land isn't really...
Well, I mean, because it's like, it's not just verbal jokes that they do, it's like, repeated gag of pull Neimon's pants, and that hurts him's in some blah way.
Right, but a repeated gag that's good could work. And it's just not a good gag. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, you know, if Frontier was supposed to have had more of a guidance of not being as jokey, if, you know, like, the writers... I haven't compared the list of writers of the seasons to know if the staff changed that much. I know... The company that had the rights to Digimon change between season 3 and season 4, but I think it's went out to the same dubbing studio. So I think, like,
a lot of the same voices.
Right. I'm not sure about, like, how that affected the writing staff. A.R. Pulver in the chat mentions that in Adventure, they trend towards random gags and commentary that doesn't feel true to the characters. And in Frontier, it's more like the characters themselves are occasionally snarky and they're just not that funny, not as funny. And yeah, that's it. It's probably true. Yeah, like.
But I feel like I agree with that mostly, except that I feel like the Adventure Kids, their jokes don't feel out of character. They just feel like they're better jokes that they made. Like, they are funnier people.
I don't know if they're. Yeah, I don't know if it goes so far as to say they're out of character, or to go so far as the other way to say they are not out of character. I think they're just like, they are more non sequitur, random things that. Yeah, but it doesn't feel like, a lot of people say that Tamers is like, oh, it's like when you talk about how Adventure had a bad dub or whatever, you say Adventure had a bad dub and full of crazy jokes or whatever, a lot of people will say, oh, but Tamers is better in that regard, and then I was surprised to be like, no, I feel like the mood of Tamers didn't feel that different from what I remembered of Adventure. It definitely felt a little like, you know, wasn't as jokey, but it still felt like the same kind of jokes. And Frontier doesn't feel like it had the same kind of jokes. The cat is literally rubbing Ashley's microphone. Oh, kitty. I'm just curious if anyone could hear that, because, I mean, with like a shock mount and a filter over her mic, it might not have been that audible.
But he literally put his face against
it. And we also got a comment. We got a question from... Oh, wait. I've always been misreading their username on Twitter, but from Zoe's My Favorite. And Ashley,
I read it?
Well, okay. The question was, give a backstory to the Lekmon in the intro song that has lost an eye and we unfortunately never meet. But Ashley has...
So I took this as like a fan fiction challenge that I sent to Asher and was like, Asher, we gotta write a fanfic together. And he was like, I sent him to him this morning and he was like, I have to do my finals like today, like all of them right now.
But instead of doing finals, I'm going to write fanfic.
No. So he was like, but I totally want to do it later. So we're going to write you a fanfic. We're going to write a short story. We have set an artificial deadline of Sunday night.
I was like, I feel like it's, you should write like an outline. And Ashley's like, no.
Asher and I are like, we will make this. We're going to do it.
Yeah. And if you want to ask us questions to answer on the podcast, you can send it to us at any point and we'll add them to a running Google Doc. And now... So now it is time for recommendation articulation, where we plug things we want to hug, tug things we want to hug, hug.
Don't bring tugging in.
Yeah, I will start to recommend something, and then Ashley can figure out what she wants to do. I had a topic which I was going to choose, and then I was like, no, I actually want to recommend this in the presence of Asher, so that Asher can react to it, or Asher can be inspired by it to read it too. So what should I recommend instead? This is kind of like, it'll become more relevant as time goes on, but it's fine to recommend now. Your Name is something that we talked about on the podcast before in episode 314.5, which we recorded in Japan, when Ashley and I saw it in Japan. But since then, it has been announced that it is coming to the States, at least, maybe other countries, but I think it's already aired in Australia and UK. But anyway, it's coming. Funimation is bringing it to movie theaters in the States in April, I believe. And I wanted to bring up this now so that you know 2 months from now when that happens, you should definitely go see it. If you didn't listen to 314.5 or don't know about this movie, it is from Makoto Shinkai, anime director, who has made a lot of movies before that have looked gorgeous, but been like, it's kind of an interesting story, but not much to it. Whereas this story has resonated really strongly with Japanese culture, and it is a quote-unquote important film, just in the way that it really captures the way that a like entire generation of Japanese people have felt. And I don't want to go into too many spoilers about why that is. There's a pretty clear metaphor at the core of the movie, but it's a great movie. It did not get nominated for any Oscars because the Oscars are a broken system.
Stop eating my headphones.
Now the cat is eating cables. But yeah, letting people know about it now because, you know, there might be a limited window when it's actually in theaters in April. It might be hard to find in theaters. So people should have it on the radar now so that they can, you know, like once they hear about something in February or in April, jump on it and get advantage to see it.
Can I ask my coworkers to go see it with me? Can it be like the one thing I've ever asked them to do with me? And be like, you guys, you have to come see this movie to see how it got totally ripped off by not having an Oscar nomination.
I mean, I am so curious when it, I hope it, you know, it gets covered by like the recent One Piece film, One Piece on Gold, got covered by New York Times. And
what?
it was a pretty funny review because they were like, their conclusion was like, if you're a like 10-year-old or like tripped up on Adderall, yeah, you'll love this movie or something. It was like a really kind of like, you need to be either a child or like super hyperactive in order to enjoy this movie. And yeah, basically, I mean, that's what happens with someone who like isn't invested in One Piece at all and probably doesn't like animation, see something like that. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, the New York Times cut the manga bestseller list, so what do you expect from those fools?
Yeah, it's true. They're haters. There's a whole, I mean, their supposed argument for that is not that they, you know, totally disvalue manga and graphic novels and comics. It's that they want to do more.
We're ramping it up.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. I probably should know how to feel about that. I should like talk to people at work, but I haven't talked to people at work about it. So, but I mean, just like, I feel like the manga fan community cared a lot about those lists. I don't know.
I mean, it's helpful stuff, man.
It just, I feel like, yeah, compared to like other, I just got the impression that like manga fans cared more about the New York Times bestseller list than, you know, like YA fans would about a YA list.
I feel like there are so many more resources to find lists for popular fiction and stuff that are going to be more tailored to your niche. Whereas with manga, that's not true.
I guess also, as I'm saying it now, like, fans caring about a ranking is never, it's often a little bit problematic, because they really want the things that they like to win, but people also use it as a way to discover things, so, anyway. Anyway, Ashley, what's your recommendation?
What is my recommendation?
Don't say democracy.
This is fantastic. You know what? Democracy is still a good recommendation. I don't think I've recommended this before. I'm going to go with Match Game slash game shows in general. Game shows are my... If I had the opportunity to watch game shows all day, I'd probably do it. I've done that before. But Match Game is currently... They've revived it. It's an old game from, like, the 70s.
I thought it was just a summer thing, you said at one point. But it's
no,
back
they
again?
Brought it back again. It's magical. Okay. There are new episodes. It's probably one I can watch right now. So exciting. Anyway, Alec Baldwin is the host, and then there's a celebrity panel, and they're playing... Is there a game that it's, like, based off of? Whatever. They
match
give
game?
You... Yeah.
It's based on Match Game. I don't know what it
is. Whatever. They give you a sentence, and you have to fill in a blank, and the blank is always something, like, dirty.
Wait. Zoe's my favorite in the chat, says that they were on Let's Make a Deal.
What? You must link me.
We did not know that you were Howie Mandel. plot twist.
Yeah, I mean... I was totally all about Let's Make a Deal, so link me some episodes.
that is really cool. Also, I never liked Let's Make a Deal, though. Wait, that's one thing. Yeah, that is the Howie Mandel one, right? With the briefcases? And...
I think so. It might be a different one. I get them all confused. They all have similar names. No, it's a different game.
Right? Oh.
That's...
So the favorite says it with Wayne Brady. Wait, did you meet Wayne Brady? Then we're just talking
to
the chat.
Oh, yeah! That show!
What am I thinking of?
Yeah, what is that one
Deal
called?
Or No Deal.
Deal or No Deal, yes.
Yeah, I actually don't know Let's Make a Deal. Deal or No Deal was
I remember it was on, like, CBS, right?
Deal or No Deal was refreshing because it's, like, you could just make a formula for the expected value of the thing. And then,
real dumb about, like, the offer that they were going to get. Yes, it was on CBS. Okay, I know which one this is. I don't know how to explain that one. That one's more complicated. They, like, have doors and you pick them, right? I don't know. It's something.
Wait, is it a... There's a famous... There's a famous game show. Oh God, I'm totally blanking on the name. But there's, like, a problem that's often brought up in economics because of the statistical modeling of it. It's a very counterintuitive. Oh my God, what's the? It's the door problem. I'm just gonna look up door problem, and it might come up. The Monty Hall problem, which
yes, A.R. Pulver says that as well.
Monty Hall problem. I'm wondering if it's, like, a recreation of that original thing, the Monty Hall problem, that the game show, the Monty Hall problem, is based on. Do you know that thing, Ashley?
No.
I mean, I'm not sure what the... What is... Oh, wait. Wait, it's the Monty Hall problem is loosely based on Let's Make a Deal. Okay.
Wait, this story's getting confusing. What's based on what?
We're all going in circles. So the Monty Hall problem is you have three doors, and you have, for example, a new car behind one door, and you as a contestant pick a door that you choose. And so you've picked a door. After you've picked a door... Say you get it wrong. The host will say, Ashley, you got it wrong. Do you want to change your pick? Wait, no, that's not right. I did this totally. Oh my God. I did this totally wrong. You pick a door. They don't tell you if it was right or wrong.
Yes.
But they remove one of the...
I've seen this game show.
They remove one of the other options. So this is the same setup as the... They remove one of the other options and then say, do you want to change your answer?
Monty Hall is the original host of the show.
Right.
Because it's based off... There are no new game shows except The Wall, which is also pretty
good. Anyway, so you know the concept that, like, once you removed the third door, do you change your answer?
And I don't know. I never understood this show enough for this. I like Match Game because you're just supposed to say penis all the time. Like, that's basically...
that show...
Also, the celebrity panelists are usually good. It normally has, like, somebody...
It usually has one good person or two good people. And
no, the last one had a bunch of good people.
Anyway, that is weird because it's like, we have to be PG, but, like, go as far close the line as you can.
Yeah, they just keep out all their crap.
Yeah, anyway, the point is, you know, you would think that if you remove a third door that, like, you still... That wouldn't affect the probabilities because there's still two doors and it's still, like, removing the third door shouldn't change the probability of the door you picked, but it actually does because I can't think of a concise way to explain this in 5 minutes, but it does because the odds of
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget. It's something about, like...
Jeff likes trying to explain, like, he understands math things, but then he gets confused.
You only have... You pick a random door. And then once the door... Once the third door is removed, and there are just two left, you either go with flipping or not flipping. And...
Yes, right.
So your first pick, you have... When you pick one of the three doors, you have a 1 in 3 chance of getting it right.
Yes.
And a 2 in 3 chance of getting it wrong. Yes. And the 1 in 3 chance of getting it right, flipping is wrong. And so that's a 1 in 3 chance flipping's bad. The 2 out of 3 chance that you pick a wrong door initially, flipping is the right choice. So there's a 1 in 3 chance where flipping's bad. A 2 in 3 chance of flipping is good. So you should flip. Anyway, that's...
Always flip. You know, always be flipping.
Zoe's and her in the chat linked to the Montiel problem in Wikipedia, which I probably just should have done. Because, yeah.
Jeff is confused.
You can No, I'm not confused anymore. I got it now. It was more of a question of whether I could explain it concisely and quickly. But we basically are done the episode, so I had some couple minutes to fill.
I pretend that I understood anything Jeff said. I just watch game shows. I really like word game shows. What other game shows do I like? I like Lingo. Family Feud is okay. It gets overplayed, though. Overplayed. Man. Oh, what's Chain Reaction? Really like Chain Reaction.
Someone in the chat mentioned that they're trying to understand the Montiel problem while playing Zero Time Dilemma. I'm like, ooh, makes me excited to play that.
I don't know what that is. What's that?
It's not called Zero Time Dilemma, is it? The name's in the series confusing.
What else does ZTD stand for?
Because there's Zero Time... Yeah, it is called Zero Time Dilemma. It's the Zero Escape series, and Zero Time Dilemma is the second game? We're just saying things we don't know about.
Hey, wait. Wayne Brady was one of the panelists recently on Match Game. See, it all comes back.
It all comes back around. Okay, we are going to close out the episode now because we only have 2.5 minutes left on the live stream. So now let's go into the outro.
Hear us,
You can find the full show notes and comment thread for this episode at podiges.com/401.5. Jump into the comments, let us know what you thought about this episode, like how much you don't want to hear about Match Game and game shows for 10 minutes.
You can hear Jeff talk about white savior narrative in a Japanese show.
Human savior narrative. It is similar. You can also let us know your thoughts via social media, email, or with the Will thread, or the Digimon subreddit thread for episode 401, where we're going to post this. Our Cattleman artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle, a.k.a. Cube Watermelon, on Tumblr and Twitter.
We do have new artwork coming.
That's yes. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Podigious is made possible. Blah, blah, blah. Podigious is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our champion, Patramon, Joe Kido, Kai Lunamon, Kaiser Washi, Stevie Patamon, from the podcast The Moncast, which is about Pokemon and Digimon, and Red from fellow Digimon podcast Breakfast with Digimon. Our ultimate Patrimon, David Graumon, and... Oh, wait, no, I fixed this in a... Marcus. Marcus Damon. That's totally his real name. Marcus is his real name. Okay. And our mega Patrimon. Mega. And our mega Patrimon, Sam Kriwagamon, also on the Moncast. And he would like you to check out his partner Tumblr, which is purple-pixel.tumblr.com. They are doing Animal Crossing drawings that are really, really cute.
If you want to support the show, check out our Patreon, where for $1 a month, you can join our private group chat on Slack, where lately we've been talking about crappy jobs and...
Crappy jobs? Well, wow!
I mean, a Patreon just started a new job and is frustrating today.
We've been talking about Next World Order.
Next Order. Next. Digimon World Next Order. Not Next World Order.
Words.
We also talk about words. We talk with words.
Yes.
You can also get cool stuff like commentary tracks and behind-the-scenes notes for $3 a month, a new sticker and button every month for $10, ability to choose episode topics for $15, and a monthly Skype hangout with me and Ashley for $10, $20, $25.
10 plus 15. You can find Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook.
Don't check Facebook. Facebook isn't a thing.
It's true. Facebook is garbage. But you can still find you can still find Podditches on it. You can find Podditches on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs.
Lately, we started streaming Next Order, which I forgot to mention, but yeah, we started streaming Next Order, and we will, if you want to stay up to date with when we're doing that, you should follow us on social media.
You can find me on Twitter at AshMcD00. You can find Jeff at, you can find Jeff on Twitter at, I wasn't looking at the doc, but I know what it is.
I'm definitely Jeff on Twitter, and apparently it's a bad idea to try and change up how we read this part, because no one seems to get it every time. Anyway.
I wasn't even looking at it.
Okay. And that's goodbye for the live stream. Sorry for people who, if you listen to the episode recording, you get this exclusive content, this exclusive last couple seconds of the outro read. So, yeah. Share the podcast with your friends who know how to read the outro text properly. And
whoa,
don't share the podcast with your friends who engage with the live stream chat all episode and don't listen to each other. We are figuring out how to do this whole live stream thing and how to engage with the chat.
No, when you were reading that one comment, I had already read it, so I knew what it was. So I read comments in the chat. Don't you try to sass me. I know what I'm doing.
Do you? I don't think any of us know what we're doing, actually. None of us do. And join us later this week for a super episode. We keep teasing it. We keep saying super.
Super.
And next week for the Beast Spirits arc with Frontier episodes 10 through 9. Bye. And remember, never stop digivolving. I totally did that thing wrong. I was supposed to like...
Wait, what?
I was supposed to like unduck it in the middle, like once we got to the end, but I kept going for too long. Anyway, live episodes, everything's crazy. The problem is recording every 2 weeks means that we kind of forgot how to do this in the 2 weeks in between. Anyway, did I say never stop digivolving? I probably did. I think I did.
I'm pretty sure you did.
So, it's time for...
Digivolve your differences.
It sounds much more corny this way.
Pixel's just like, Fade May! Fade May! Fade May. Are you eating stuff off the floor? Stop it!
And that's a good note to end the podcast on. Don't eat stuff off the floor.
Stop
especially
it.
Especially if you're not a cat.